Mayor Dobie's back this week. Were you on vacation?
Back, yeah. We took a little hiatus up to the Silver Lake area and out to Lake Michigan. And so one thing about that area is that at least I don't get very good cell reception, so it's hard to even get a text out to you. So I hope you didn't miss me too much.
Well, we did. We missed you a lot, actually. But I was reading about you.
Still making some news. Yeah, had the internet, so we were able to, still work in a time between city council meetings because we, over the summer months, only meet once a month. There's a lot more time to do the collaborative work and put together a racial equity commission. And
so you teamed up with Fred. You teamed up with Freddie.
Mm-hmm.
In announcing a package of ordinances. Tell our listeners a little bit about that in the background.
Yeah, so this is something that other cities have to varying degrees, different departments or different task forces, different staff within City Hall to work on some of these issues. It's something that I talked to a lot of the members at Axis at some of the protests that have been happening in Jackson and some of the meetings that have been having in the aftermath of those protests, and started working on what we could do here in Jackson to really put these issues front and center and to work on them. And what we kind of came up with working with Freddie and Keisha Hamilton is a package of ordinances that creates a Department of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at City Hall. Earlier this year, prior to my State of the City, we had created a new position as Chief Equity Officer at the City of Jackson. John Willis is serving in that role, so John Willis would kind of lead that department, and that department would also oversee both Youth Council, the Human Relations Commission, and if supported and adopted next Tuesday, a new racial equity commission that works to start to level the playing field and make sure that we're doing what we can to ensure that our Black community that's been has a history of facing racism and different institutional systemic racism and the hurdles that those cause in our community and communities across Michigan, what we can do to build equity here in the city. And I think that's the conversation that has been going on across our country, in Michigan in particular, and in Jackson here, between the county and the city. And I know the county is hasn't, I think, got to that level yet. I have hopes that they do and work on this issue countywide as well.
Well,
it's something that we're going to do here at the city.
They have an ad hoc committee that they've put together also.
Yeah, they have an ad hoc anti-discrimination committee, and I want to be I think it's important to understand the difference between discrimination and equity. They can be somewhat related, but to say that we're rooting out discrimination and making sure that all people are treated equal is not the same as building equity and making sure that we're giving people the opportunities that have been long neglected
those are tough definitions, aren't they?
I think that there's a distinct difference. I think sometimes mm-hmm. people can blur the two together, but I think that's why we are proposing a new commission to be able to have, our Relations Commission has worked to combat discrimination here in the city for a long time. They were one of the groups that helped push forward the non-discrimination ordinance. In fact, I sent a letter to the county and to the county commissioners, encouraging them to pass their own non-discrimination policies for Jackson County in terms of purchasing, which they can do, which I wrote the policies for them. I think it's important that that new commission takes up that work, but I don't think that that necessarily equates to being intentional about working on matters of equity and racial equity in particular.
Let's move to the election. Anything jump out at you? The election yesterday?
Well, it was definitely a late night, and I think it's going to be a late day. It's interesting to see how COVID and the Proposal 3 of 2018 has kind of changed the way that we look at elections, and I think we all have to get comfortable and waking up or going to bed that night and even waking up the next morning and not knowing who won some of these seats. You know, there's so many absentee ballots that were cast yesterday and before yesterday. I think it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I think that there were some interesting races across the country that are playing out. There's some closer than expected races, and the congressional district just to the west of us over in the 6th Congressional District. You know, I think people are hungry for some change, hungry for some authenticity, and some candidates that bring a fresh perspective and some new ideas. And, you know, we've been seeing at the federal level politicians working on incremental change, and sometimes I think the time is right to take some bigger steps, and I think the public appetite now is to do something to get us out of the mess that we're in, and there's a lot of frustration out there, and I think that was probably reflected in some of the results that we saw yesterday.
Well, we had a 33% here in the county, which to me for a primary is pretty high. Although we had a couple high profile races that are going to bring voters out, but that was a pretty good number, wasn't it?
I think so. You know, I think when you make voting easier, I think you're going to expect those results. I was saddened to see that the Supreme Court didn't take up a case that was pending before them, chose not to pick it up, in fact, voted to, about being able to count the ballots that are postmarked by Election Day. So that's why you saw a lot of clerks talking about walking your ballots in and making sure that they're handed over to the clerk, because if you drop them in the mail and they don't arrive to the clerk's office on time, then they're not going to be counted. So I think that's something, you know, probably an issue for a future election, but, you know, making the voting process easier, the reforms that the public put in place with Proposal 3 back in 2018, I think we're going to see more people voting as a result of those reforms, making the voting process easier. And I think it's with the pandemic that we see here now, you know, thank God that Proposal 3 did pass and allowed no reason absentee voting and allowed us to vote from the safety of our own homes. And for those that voted in person, I went yesterday and cast my ballot at the polling location just to check in and see how our election inspectors and workers were doing. And, you know, God bless those that volunteered. I know a lot of other cities had shortages and election workers, and you know, we want to make sure that we're continuing to keep polling places open so people have a opportunity to vote coming up here in November. And you know, thanks to all of those that you know, brave the pandemic to get out there and make sure that our democracy mm-hmm. can continue to work.
So you have a meeting next Tuesday. That'll be Jonathan Green night?
Yeah, you know, hopefully. You know, we'll see. I think the last meeting I asked to put that onto the agenda for discussion. I've been having conversations with citizens about the work that Jonathan's done with the business community, with Chamber, with consumers, with a whole lot of different stakeholders that we have here. And I think he's got high marks. You know, Jonathan stepped into the role as interim city manager kind of end of February. And if you remember, that was about the time that the COVID pandemic was picking up, and he got thrust right into the middle of it right off the bat.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, considering that, he's done a really admirable job in balancing that crisis, dealing with some of the racial issues that we're talking about here in our community, and providing some real leadership both for the city and the staff members, you know, working with a diverse council and working with a diverse community. And we've, I think, really been able to, if you've been able to get downtown as of recent, start to get the momentum back into some of the projects that were underway before the pandemic hit. So I'm excited to talk about him being the new city manager. He'll definitely have my support, and I hope he has the support of the rest of the city.
You don't expect any surprises, do you?
Well, it's, you know, Jackson City Council, so anything can happen. But no, I you know, talking to my colleagues, not about this vote specifically, but just generally.
You're a pretty good vote counter, I'm sure.
I'm 34 years old. I've been here for almost a decade, so I've almost...
I know you can count to seven.
Yeah, I think he'll have the support he needs to be our full-time city manager, and he'll continue to do a good job. And what he's told me is he loves this city, he loves this community, he loves the people here, and he wants to make this his career, and make this community his career as well.
Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies. Derek, thanks for the visit. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Greg. Appreciate it.
As always.